Yoram Gessler, I would just like to offer two thoughts and ideas of approaches of ideas, potentially attacks even, or aggressive thoughts vis-a-vis the world, the way it sees us, and particularly the Arab world. I think it's time that we ask the question of the Arab leadership who claims to believe in two states for two peoples, the simple question of whether they understand and accept the legitimate claim of the Jewish people to any of the land between the river and the sea. Any of the land. And I think we can't really deal with people honestly who don't accept any of our claims, because if we're not here historically, then we really are crusaders. We've really come from somewhere for no good reason and have taken somebody else's land that somebody else lives on. And we have a legitimate historical claim, and that needs to be understood and accepted. The claim that we are the only remaining Aboriginal people who've ever lived between the river and the sea, that we are in fact the American Indians, and that we, like the American Indians, were disposed of our land and exiled by a cruel and violent European
power. I'm going to have to cut you short because the point is understood. Okay, thank you. Yes.
The lack of coverage of the whole Al-Dura revelations is so prevalent in Israel. It did not appear anywhere in the mainstream Hebrew media at all. There was a little bit of mention in the Jerusalem Post. The only thing of any significance, which was very narrow-casted, if you will, was a translation in Makor Rishon of Nidra Pollard's article that appeared in Commentary Magazine. Blanket refusal of the Israeli government to face up to it and deal with it has left this brave gentleman out hank. A couple of years ago, the British Cartoonists Association gave an award to the cartoonist from The Independent, who had this blatantly anti-Semitic Christological cartoon of Sharon eating kids. It gave him the award for the year. When he was quizzed by a Canadian, when the head of the organization was quizzed by a Canadian journalist, why they did that, as opposed to any of the Palestinian atrocities, he said, well, Jews don't issue fatwas. Point blank, Jews don't issue fatwas. And the question I put to Dovert Tzal, to Danny Seaman, is perhaps the mistake we're making is we're too nice. We're being very naive in a very intellectually dishonest world. And I think the lesson, if anything, that the past 10 years for sure, if not long, has taught us is that naivete kills.
Danny, if I could just say one thing on this Al-Dura affair.
Let's see if I try to stop you. Is that going to help?
Okay,
so go ahead.
Just on the question of the Al-Dura affair in the Israeli media, I mean, my Hebrew is not very good, so the only articles I read is what's published about Al-Dura. And I have to say that the Israeli media, mainstream media, is literally in the wake of the European media. In other words, what Reuters puts out gets repeated in the Israeli media. There's no independent work. And if anything, my sense is that the Israeli government got sandbagged by the Israeli media. When the report first came out, Haaretz did such a hatchet job on it that when I presented this to my class, one of my students said, I thought Haaretz was an Israeli paper. I said, yes, it is. She said, then why does it sound like a Palestinian paper? So, you know, I would, in fact, consider the Israeli mainstream media one of the main players in the silence on Al-Dura.
Well, since they're not here to defend themselves, I don't want to speak in their name, and I don't think, I'll just say that I think that the Israeli press does do a good job. I don't think the issue was of Mohammed Al-Dura was so... It didn't become a matter of public opinion here in Israel, and that's why the Israeli media hasn't dealt with it. And therefore, I think if those of you here bring it up with the Israeli media, with your Israeli counterparts, perhaps it will become a matter of Israeli public opinion, and then both the Israeli media and the government will have to address it. I want to thank you for all the questions and remarks, and I want to give, we'll start with Avital and answer briefly the many questions and remarks made here.
Yeah, regarding the first question about the toys with the explosives and the tunnels. Look, we have a photography unit. We even lost the life of one soldier doing a photography mission in Rafah. we issue pictures on a daily basis. The way we issue them is we give tapes to the JCS, namely, we hand over with a spoon practically, and we also speak to the wires, the reporters, and we tell them and we email them, and since July we start SMSing them, we also page them. We're talking, by the way, about 500 reporters. And in this specific case, we did the same. It was a Shabbat. Nevertheless, we did it. We issued the pictures. Some people chose to use them. Some other media chose not to use them. About the tunnels.
You put it on your internet site.
And we put it on the website, right. Now, about the tunnels. As you know, the IDF is no longer in the Gaza Strip. About 2.5 months ago, in the beginning of October, we had a single operation in the outskirts of Rafah that was, we didn't know what to expect there, but we found eventually 15 tunnels. The danger for the forces is so big that we cannot allow to enter other people, namely reporters, in which we'll have to protect instead of do the mission itself. Now, we did issue plenty of footage after the tunnels. By the way we operate is, due to the danger, is we take the pictures and then we explode the tunnel. Otherwise, it will be used over and over again for different kinds of terror infrastructure. So we do use the footage, we issue it on a daily basis, sometimes even a few times a day. About the question about translating films, look, I'll just say that the spokesperson unit is not the leading organization, and I know that naturally many people turn to the IDF. We're not the leading organization in Hasbara in Israel, especially with international media. We are here to assist all the other governmental institutions, but we are not the leaders. So we have a photography unit. It's mainly used for Israeli press, because this is the unit's prior goal. Now, about the availability and the manpower. Today, we're in a new situation that never was in the past. We have 5 desks in the international press branch. We have a desk dealing with Arabic media. We have a desk dealing with European media, a desk dealing with Russian media, and we have North American desk, and we have an NGO desk. So basically, most of your comments, we can find the desk to send them to. Today we're investing a lot of time and manpower in this. The soldiers we have are not, mostly, are not your usual 18-year-olds, but they have academic degrees, and they have experience in Hasbara, and this is the crowd we're looking for. So I think and I believe that the spokesperson unit, we have jumped quite a few steps from what you remember 10 years ago.
The IDF has done a lot, as you said, in the last few years, but certainly not enough. And part of our defeat in Hasbara war stems from the IDF. You are not fast enough. And you said in your introduction that the IDF was a little bit surprised to see how fast the press, the media works through cellular phone, through internet, whatever. And I think you are still studying the problem, and you are just not at the level, at the request level. I was in Egypt and then in Sweden during the Second Intifada, and I can tell you from my proper experience that when there was a pigua, a terrorist operation, the version that got to the press, the first was the Palestinian. We have never defeated the Palestinian in presenting the versions to the world press. So, in the morning, when the papers come out, the citizens of Europe read the Palestinian version about the pigua, not ours. And when I come to the editor and tell him, listen, this is not true, it's a lie, absolutely not. He said, I'm very sorry. Till now, 10 o'clock in the morning, nothing came from IDF from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So, he said, you've got a problem. You told us that the IDF would like to be thorough, to investigate thoroughly every pigua. No, just be first. You are part of our defeat, you must understand it. I saw it.
I understand the conflict, once again, between credibility and quickness. I will never, there is a conflict. I will never lie, I will never lie, and I will never give untrue details. I can go with the first, some kind of a statement, but it will be very clear, very, very general. But this we do. You rarely see the comment of no comment by the IDF spokesperson.
So we are going to die with justice in our lives.
I don't know if we'll visit a debate, we want to answer all the things. I know we have a lot to say on this, but we'll...
Good point.
Set on the time. Okay. Itamar, your response. Final round.
Okay, just I want to touch briefly on some of the points and questions. Someone asked about, I think it was a question to the Palestinians, are there people in the Palestinian Authority who recognize Israel's right to exist? What was the question?
The question is the historical legitimacy of our claim to any of the land between the river and the sea.
Is there amongst the Palestinians?
Right.
Okay. I just want to give you an example. Even an issue as seemingly as controversial as this, if you would look on our site, there are so many examples where it is explicitly stated that the Palestinians do not recognize the right of Israel to exist. And I'll just give you two examples. There have been two documentaries that have been running since January on Palestinian television, each of them over 20, one of them 25 times. One of them is an hour documentary on Jaffa, which it talks about as a conquered Palestinian city, and one of them is a 20-minute documentary on Akko. Two Israeli cities, not anywhere near Judea and Samaria, not supposedly, and yet they have chosen to run these documentaries between the two of them over 50 times, incessantly on television that is run by Mahmoud Abbas. You can find these videos, or parts of these videos, on our website. Mahmoud Abbas said on television, and you can find that on our website, about a month and a half ago, the same day that Mahmoud Abbas spoke to Condoleezza Rice, and said, and it was the front page, somebody from the Jerusalem Post, the front page in the Jerusalem Post, that Abbas is demanding that the Hamas recognize Israel. It was the front page headline of the Jerusalem Post. That very same day, Mahmoud Abbas was on Palestinian television. He said, not only doesn't the Hamas have to recognize Israel, but even the Fatah doesn't have to recognize Israel. So it's all there, make use of our site, because you have, again, we don't have to say that Hamas doesn't do it. He says it himself, and you just have the sites there. Okay, now, give you another example. Somebody asked a question about the Muhammad al-Dur being one child, but there have been hundreds of children who've been killed. So I'm going to give you an example how different infrastructures in Israel have taken advantage of. One of them is, for example, Israel's teachers' unions. There was a delegation here of teachers' unions from around the world to Israeli, and they were investigating the problems of Palestinian children. So the Israeli teachers' union invited me to come. They had finished their entire trip through Ramallah, Gaza, and at the final session they asked me to come. So the teachers' union, most people first from Europe, spoke. And one of them said that she had been in Kosovo and seen the terrible things happening to children around the world, but nothing was as bad as was happening to the Palestinian children. And they went through all of them saying these things, and then they asked me to speak. So what I did is I started for a few minutes talking about how the terrible tragedy of the Palestinian children, they're suffering tremendously, and it's really a shame. And then, but then I asked a simple question, but who's responsible for the Palestinian children suffering? And I showed how the leadership has systematically told the children, don't stay home, don't be in school, be on the front lines, kill yourself. And we walked out of there, one of the heads of the teachers, one of the teachers' unions, they were all represented, they said to me, you know, I'm a merit supporter, but this has nothing to do with left and right. Every Israeli has to know this material, and thank you for saving the day here, because otherwise they would have gone back with a terrible report about Israel. And in this I wanted to comment about the first comment you made, that Israel, that BMW is being branded as right-wing. BMW is not branded as right-wing. And the fact is that we're invited to parliaments around the world. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Canadian Parliament. There are some people actually in the Israeli extreme left journalists who try to do that. But around the world, our stuff is recognized and can be used and should be used. And one of the reasons why we actually have all of the Arabic with subtitles instead of voiceover is that anyone who wants to can listen to the Arabic and see and listen on their own. The final thing is just in terms of people talking here about what they can do, and a lot of people that are activists. A new project that we started recently in the United States is training people to give the same presentations that I've been giving, and the last few months, I've trained over 250 American university students who we call PMW ambassadors. They have our CD. They've got about 25, 30 videos on them, all running through a PowerPoint presentation. You saw here just a few minutes. It's a 40-minute to an hour presentation. So if you have university students in the States, if you want, or if you want it in English, please approach me. In addition, we are now finishing the same thing in Hebrew for Israeli ambassadors, and the goal is to have hundreds, possibly thousands of Israelis in Hebrew taking this message to the Israeli populations in Chugei Bayit and other things. So likewise, in this area, please contact me, and we'd be happy to work with everyone.
Okay, so to answer the question concerning the Eldora story, I think that it's always right to fight for the truth. The truth is important, and this is a fake story, so this is the first thing. I could stay 1 hour answering you, but, and also I don't think that the Israeli army, if they had shot any kid in the past 4 or 5 years, I don't think that they shot intentionally for 45 minutes to a kid to have him dying, okay, this is for sure. So the other thing that I repeat, just 3 points, it will clear the reputation of the Israeli of Israel and of the IDF. It will make liars pay a price, and it's important because it will be a deterrence for them. And also, if you want to forget it, and because it's too traumatic for the Israelis, forget it, because they will not, the French people, they will never forget it. Okay, I will answer to Rana and Yaz. I don't know where you are, but I would like to remind you that it was not 3 years ago, but a year and a half ago, and I was already sued by the French TV, which means the French government. And at the trial, we showed all the evidences. We showed everything. Everybody was shocked by what we showed and by the testimonials that we had. But the main reason, and I would say the only reason why we've been found guilty, is because they said, if it were true what you said, as it would be of the interest and the interest of the Israeli government and the Israeli army, they would have supported your case. So, as they didn't, so you're wrong. I have so many other ideas I could go on this, but just I want to let you know also concerning the Israeli press. While my trial was in Paris, I can't tell you, because I was there after, the Israeli representatives of the Israeli newspapers and TVs were partying with France 2 and Charles Andelin in Paris. Okay, the only one who has been very, very nice on my case is Caroline Glick, and this is why I quote her so much.
You asked, somebody asked here why we don't do these things. We do these things. And Avital did refer to the fact that we take journalists. Just last night, I'm being bugged now with beepers and mobile phones because we're having a briefing with Yitzhak Herzog on the arrangements that Israel's made for the Christmas, Christmas celebrations of Christians, and things you'll probably not hear about because the media won't report about it. I'm willing to bet anybody here that this briefing we have today and all that Israel has done, all the arrangements we've made to accommodate the Christians from the Palestinians, Israeli Christians, Christians from abroad, what you will hear on Christmas will be how it's been difficult for them to get there, the wall, and how Jesus and Mary would have had a hard time, not because they were Jews and would have been lynched had they gone through the territories, but because of the Israeli roadblocks. So it's not that we don't do these things. It's not that the IDF doesn't produce, and we're constantly, our work and our cooperation, and we're 24 hours, we don't get paid for the time that we spend, and we don't care because we know what our job is. But the efforts that we put in to giving access to journalists is unparalleled, certainly not with the Palestinians, don't make the same access. The question is, why doesn't it get reported? And this is where, and I've been trying for the past 3 years to get the Israeli government, my government, to understand we have to invest in the byroads to the mainstream media. Unlike in the past where Reuters, AP would bar your information and you had no alternatives, today the alternatives exist. Today both the financial difficulties the media find themselves in make other sources and resources want to get information from other resources, credible resources such as the Israeli government, and we are considered credible. And also the other venues exist, the blogs, etc. But we need to invest in the technology that will allow us, for those blogs who want to get the material that we have available, be able to get it through us and not through AP or Reuters, and we're trying to move precisely in that direction. Regarding the fatwas, I don't want to be like them. We are not them. We do not threaten. We do demand, though, two things. That the journalists uphold their professional standards, not for the state of Israel, but for what they claim to be representing the people. And beyond that, they will respect this country. the laws of this country. And that's what I demand of the journalists. That's what they have a hard time. That's why I'm being portrayed as an extremist, as hostile to the media, because all I've asked them to do is respect the laws of this country.
It doesn't work.
It does work. I'm sorry to debate with you. What do you want me to start putting out the death threats on the journalists?
Hold on. Please.
I'm not going to get into the debate on it, but the issue is very simple. We're not like them. We're never going to behave like them. I believe the truth eventually does point and prove to itself. When you're asking about The Guardian, Al Jazeera, etc., don't ask me the question. Ask them. I'll end with just a simple example. My family hosts Romanian, I think this is very representative, Romanian foreign workers in Israel. So my mother hosts them from time to time. They'll sit there and they'll come and they'll basically gripe about problems that they have. And we're sitting with one of them a few years ago and he's saying, oh, the problems he's having with the Israeli contractor that's not paying him. But we, you, say to us, you know how Jews are with money. And what do I mean to say by that? That there are some things that we're not going to be able to change, because some people believe that we do kill non-Jewish children. I found that since the war in Lebanon, the singling out of Israel is done by those societies, and this we can go into a whole philosophical concept here, especially the British, and this includes the Irish, those societies that have had an inherent distrust of Jews. It's not something we're going to be able to get out with Hasbara or etc. overnight. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to stop doing it. Threatening them? Absolutely not. We will never threaten, but we will demand that they respect this country as they do in every other country in the world. Thank you all for being here.